Welcome to the sermon podcast of First Alliance Church in Lexington, Kentucky. The sermon you're about to hear, The Church at Galatia, was preached by our lead pastor, Paul Smith, on Galatians chapter 5. It was recorded on May 8th, 2022, and is part of our series, A Stained Beauty.
All right, great to see you on this Sunday morning. If you have a copy of the scriptures, go to the New Testament book of Acts. You'll go to two places, the New Testament book of Acts, chapters 13 and 14, and then you'll trickle over to the book of Galatians. And so Acts chapter 13, 14, the book of Galatians. I don't know if First Alliance is your home church, but make sure you have a church that teaches and preaches the scriptures faithfully. And I see that we have a number of friends and family that are joining us this morning. Great to have you with us. We take God and his word and his mission very seriously. We don't take ourselves too seriously, but it's great to have you with us this morning. And happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Just to be clear, this is not the title of my Mother's Day message, by the way, okay? I thought about that. I was like, uh-oh. No, we're in a sermon series on the church, an honest look at the church. And we look at the church at Galatians this morning. And one of the things Jesus said about his church is it shall be called a house of prayer. And because of that, Jesus said we pray. We gather for prayer from 6:45 to 7:45 every Monday night. Not much happens in a church supernaturally if the church doesn't pray. We take 1 hour. You pray in groups of four. Someone will pray for you. You'll pray for somebody. But we pray for others. We pray for our globe, our city, our community. We pray for other churches, the next generation. And so that's tomorrow night. I lead that personally from 6:45 to 7:45. And yet we're in a series called Stained Beauty, and I'm so glad that you are here, and it's on the church. And so let me pray, and then we'll get into it. So dear Jesus, thank you for our time of worship, and Holy Spirit, you teach us from your word, from your scriptures. We need to see how to live, and may this not just be a time where our hearts where our heads just receive information, but our hearts truly come alive to the greatness of the gospel. And the church said together, amen. Well, some foundational principles about the church. The church is God's idea. It's God's idea. He thought of the church. It wasn't something that man just made up. It's God's idea, which means the church is one of God's greatest gifts to you. And the scriptures say that the church is the bride of Christ. It's a metaphor for how Jesus loves the church, protects the church, takes care of the church, provides for the church. And as Christians, our growth is to love what Jesus loves. And if Jesus loves the church, we should love the church also. One of the things to be clear is that the church is not a building. The church gathers in a building, but we are the church. We're the body of Christ also in this world. We're the hands and feet of Jesus. We're the mouth of Jesus. We represent Jesus to this world. And to get our minds and hearts wrapped around today's subject, I want to make a statement, and it's absolutely true. I love the church. I love the church. Been in it since I was a little kid. I love the memories of the church. I love the mission of the church. I love all the relations, the child dedications in the church. I love the church. One author said this, I love the church. I believe in the local church. Perfect, not at all. In Jesus' eyes, it is his plan, A, to bring forth his presence. We are his image bearers, reconcilers, forgivers, healers, and restorers. We hope together, grieve together, pray together, communion together, on mission together. I love the local church. But can I be honest? And you're probably saying, that's what we're hoping for. I love the local church. And yet, I have had some very hard experiences in the local church. And I bet you have too. In the local church, I've experienced discouragement, disappointment, unmet expectations, and I've had to have some very hard conversations. I have a treasure chest filled of thank you cards and encouragement notes and a very small file folder of letters that have left me so deflated and weak, I didn't know if I could lead another day. I love the local church, and yet I have had some very hard experiences in the local church. And it didn't start when I was a pastor. I remember being a little boy, probably about 8 years old, and it was a Sunday evening all-church business meeting, and the temperature in the room was hot and high over which vacuum to purchase. And I remember at a young age thinking, is this really the best way? One person has said this, the church is kind of like Noah's Ark. It can get really stinky inside, but the other option's not very good. I'm glad you laughed. First service didn't laugh. I'm like, that's one of my best stuff. One of the authors that we're reading for this series is the president of our denomination. His name is John Stumbo. He actually wrote the book Stained Beauty. He said, because of hardships, some of us, myself included, get discouraged and the courage to lead gets drained right out of us. We expect church life to be easier than it often is. We expect better out of other Christians than we often experience. I love the local church, and yet I've had some very hard experiences in the local church, and I bet you have too. So here's the question. How do you keep your heart soft when you go through the hard stuff? How do you keep your heart soft when you go through the hard stuff? And it can't just be in the church. It could be a marriage, job, any relationship that you have. You'll go through a storming period in that relationship, and your heart is so important. You see, this is a critical question because the enemy would love that hard experience to produce a hard heart in you. When your heart gets hard, your love goes down, your joy goes down, you begin to fake it. You say, oh, I'm fine. And you draw back from relationships, and the purpose for you, for which you were created, is in jeopardy if that heart gets hard. How do you keep your heart soft when you go through the hard stuff in the life of the church? Well, that's the question we're going to answer when we look at Acts chapter 13 and 14 in those chapters. Just a few verses there, and then we'll trickle over to chapter 1 and chapter 5 in the book of Galatians. And Paul the Apostle and Barnabas are spreading the gospel, and it has been great up to this point. The Spirit is moving. Jerusalem was a powerful movement of God. Antioch was a powerful movement of God. But as this map comes up here, you see that the church started in Jerusalem. That's where it was birthed. And then Jesus said, go into all of the world. And so as you move north, you go up to Antioch. And once again, a very loving community, a great experience. They send out missionaries. They cry and weep with one another. But as they go to Galatia, that top one, it's not just one city, it's a series of smaller cities, smaller churches. Things begin to get very, very difficult. Idealism crashes into realism. And one of the things that happened is as they begin to gather people, they want to join this movement. And as they're going into Galatia, the territory is getting very, very difficult, hard. They've got supplies, they've got resources, they need a significant group to protect each other. I mean, this is life-threatening missionary work. They're going to start sailing on ships. Along the way, they pick up an individual named John. Really, his name is John Mark. He's Paul's protege. Paul is mentoring him to kind of carry on the gospel, you know, that emphasis of the next generation. Well, things start getting difficult, and Luke records for us in Acts chapter 13, a very significant moment here. Acts chapter 13, verse 13. And I don't know if I can get all these towns' names right. It says this, from Paphos, Paul and his companions, verse 13 of chapter 13, companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them and returned to Jerusalem. Jerusalem's home base. Jerusalem's the familiar. Jerusalem's the comfortable. Jerusalem's a sense of going home. They're all committed to going, taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. And as we know, when John Mark leaves, is a major tension. And it's a major setback. One of the things that you can experience more than likely in the life of the church, and this is the first of four hardships that Paul experiences that you might experience also. The first one is disappointment. You thought a relationship would be different. You thought commitment would kind of be different. You thought that the relationship would end a certain way. But Paul learns very early on that you can influence people, but you can't control them. I bet you if you were to think back in your life, you would think like that relationship didn't turn out the way I thought it would. Paul experienced disappointment, and so will you. One of the things that Paul has in his life, if you tumble over to chapter 14, he's got disappointment within the group. But also, as the gospel begins to expand, he's got some very hard things that come his way. If you look at chapter 14, verse 4, Paul and Barnabas are preaching the gospel powerfully in this town. And all of a sudden, this threatens the religious leaders. And look at what happens in verse 4 of chapter 14. The people in the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews and others with the apostles. And there was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and the Jews, together with their leaders, to mistreat and stone them. This is Barnabas and Paul, who are preaching the gospel. They're doing God's will, and all of a sudden, Gentile leaders and Jewish leaders are coming together to stone them. And you get the idea of stoning back then. Big, hard objects propelled at you for the sake of hurting you. And he's doing God's will, and this is what's happening. Now, today, we probably don't get literal stones thrown at us. But pain doesn't have to be just physical. You might have been in a group or a gathering and somebody said something and that word sure did hurt. That conversation sure did hurt. And it hurt deeper than a bruised body and it lasted longer than a bruised physical. It hit you deep within. It hit an insecurity. It hit a doubt. It hit a pain. You see, I've been in the church where careless and harsh words have been spoken. You see, we believe things passionately, and sometimes we don't think, or sometimes we're selfish, and we say things that we wish we could take them back, but we can't. And that individual who said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, what world is he living in? I assume it was a guy. But in spite of all of that, Paul the Apostle has phenomenal ministry in the church at Galatia. God moves amazingly. You don't need to turn there. It'll come up on the screen in Galatians chapter 4. Paul the Apostle talks about an illness that he had. And I'm sure he had several physical illnesses because of the conditions that he was living in. He says that he slept out under darkness at night, many times left for dead. Doing the gospel took a toll on his body. But in Galatians chapter 4, look at what he says. As you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. And even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I was an angel of God, as if I were Christ himself. He says, I was sick and you cared for me. You treated me with love. I'm sure they prayed for Paul. God heal him. And God healed him. I've prayed for people, sick people, and they haven't gotten healed, and so have you. May 3rd is a very hard day for me. The gentleman who led me to the Lord when I was probably just 19, who mentored me, his name was Yogi Durbin, Brian Durbin, but he went by Yogi. I mean, he was a man's man, fun, loved Jesus. But on May 3rd, 3 years ago, and I had to move back to this area to establish a relationship with him once again. And just 9 months after we moved back, I have a heart attack and he dies at the young age of 64. And we prayed and prayed in those critical moments that God would spare his life. And it was a no. You've had people. God, why and what for? If you're in the church long enough and you gain relationships in the church long enough, you will have more than one unanswered prayer. Harsh words, hard conversations and unanswered prayers are just one of the things that make us go, why? But in this relationship with the Galatians church, as I said, it was a wonderful relationship. But turn to Galatians chapter 1. Paul loves this church. It is a powerful movement of God from this church, but he knows he is to plant more churches along the way. So he leaves Galatia, the church at Galatians. And then all of a sudden, he hears what's going on in the church in Galatia in his absence. False teachers have moved in, and all of a sudden, they flip. They move off of the gospel. Look at what he says. I'm in verse chapter 1, verse 6. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to another gospel. They didn't desert him. They're deserting Jesus. They've moved on. They've given up. Things got hot. The heat was on from society, and they backed away from their love of Jesus. If you're in the church long enough, this is one of the things I know, is that the people who at one time were following Jesus and walking with you are no longer following Jesus and no longer walking with you as it comes up there. As it comes up there, it comes up there, it comes up there, as it comes up there. as it comes up there, as it there, as it comes up there. So, we can all think of individuals who they were with you at one point. They were beside you in a pew. They were into the scriptures. And all of a sudden, you don't know why. They're not anymore. I don't want to talk about the issue of salvation. That's not to be talked about. But we do know that at Matthew 13, Jesus said that the gospel falls on certain types of soils of the hearts. And two of the soils were the following, that the seed of the gospel would fall on shallow soil, and it would spring up quickly, but the heat of persecution would come, and they would wither away. And other seeds would fall on soil amongst the thorns, and it would spring up, but the cares and the concerns of this world would choke out the good fruit. And your heart breaks, because in one time, you remember they were in love with Jesus. But you wonder, why? Why are they not any longer? Those are the four hard experiences that Paul experiences that you could more than likely experience too. So the question is this: how do you keep your heart soft when you go through the hard stuff? Well, for this, turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. You see, Paul the apostle here, just in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, when he talks about life in the Spirit, he doesn't talk about the life in the Spirit as something disconnected from his life experiences and his life relationships. I find it so interesting that Paul talks about the Holy Spirit in extent in the context of some of his most difficult relationships. And when you talk about the Holy Spirit in this context, it is the how and the why of the hard stuff. How you get through the hard stuff, keeping your heart soft, and why it is so important. You see, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, Paul says this, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not satisfy the desires of the sinful nature. The sinful natures desire what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with one another so that you do not do what you want." There's that conflict within. "But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, jealousy, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and alike. I warn you, as I did before, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its desires and passions. So since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." And the Apostle Paul lets us know that the Christian life is a supernatural life. It's a life by the Holy Spirit. It's not just a moral life of doing better. It's a life of dependence upon the Holy Spirit in you to produce the fruit of the Spirit through you in the context of the relationships that you have. He says, you know how you walk through the hard stuff? You walk by the Spirit. You produce the fruits of the Spirit. You live by the Spirit. You keep in touch and keep in step with the Spirit. It's all about the Spirit of God. John Stumbo says this: if we are walking in him and he is working in us, then we have every reason and resource to persevere. God is calling us to an ongoing resolve to keep coming to the Holy Spirit for love, wisdom, perseverance, and continued investment in the church, even when it's hard. And remember the words of Jesus: and if you abide in me, you'll produce much fruit. But if you don't abide in me, you'll produce nothing. And so it's a calling on the Holy Spirit for the resources you need to live this life. Before here in the United States, in Kentucky, I pastored in Idaho for 20 years. And there was this gentleman in our church that all of his relationships were falling apart. His marriage was hanging on by a thread. His kids didn't want anything to do with him. He was on his third job because of the last two previous jobs. He was let go because of his hot temper. and just harsh words. Seems like every relationship that he had was just filled with toxic and impatience and cruelty. And so he comes to me for help, and I said, okay, well, tell me how you experience God. He says, well, I go out to nature, and that's where I experience God. I don't want anything to do with the church. And I can't blame him, because Kentucky is beautiful, but Idaho is kind of its own kind of beauty. I mean, I hunted and camped in those mountains. My kids went tubing in this river. I caught trout in this stream, and I've seen this rainbow at these waterfalls. It truly is awe-inspiring. But I said, okay, so when you're out in nature experiencing God, how do you work on patience? He said, I don't. I said, how do you work on kindness? He said, I don't. I said, how do you work on gentleness? He goes, I guess I'm gentle with a squirrel. And I said, no, come on. He goes, no, I don't. He goes, that's why I go out there. I don't have to work on any of those things. I said, I think we just put our finger on the problem. You see, the very thing that he was forsaking was the very thing that he needed. He needed relationships, and the fruits of the Spirit are all relationally oriented. Let's look at them. The fruits of the Spirit is love. And love's a decision to love the unlovable. It's joy, even when it's difficult. It's peace when the relationships are at full throttle. It's patience when you want to put the hammer down. It's kindness when you want to get even. It's goodness when you say, why bother? It's faithfulness when you want to give up. It's gentleness when you want to bark. It's self-control when you want to be selfish. You see, often the very hardships that we'd rather not receive are the very things we need to move us on to spiritual maturity. And may we be reminded that if you're a Christian, nothing enters into your life unless it goes through the filter of God's sovereignty and his love. And so some of the things that we would rather not receive are the very things we need to move us on to become more like Christ. On May 4th in 1856, there was a gentleman who was reluctantly let into church membership after his interview, because a year before this, he failed his church interview because insufficient knowledge of doctrine. Failing this interview thrust this man into a study of the Christian scriptures and a study of Christian doctrine that he had never experienced before. And this gave birth to a love and a desire for Jesus Christ that everybody should, he wanted everybody to know this. And he had no idea that so much richness was there. And he says, I never would have been propelled into the scriptures and theology unless I would have gone through that hard experience. And this gentleman's name was D.L. Moody, one of America's greatest theologians and evangelist. James 1, verses 3 through 5 says this, consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work that you might be mature and complete, not lacking anything. How do you keep your heart soft when you go through the hard stuff? How? By the Holy Spirit. Why? To move your life on to maturity, to show people Jesus, to produce the fruit of the Spirit, to be light in this dark world, to be salt in this world that is corroding, to hand them out Christ. I leave you with the words of Mother Teresa. She says this, people are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you're kind, people will accuse you of selfishness and ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and frank, people will cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building, someone else could destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, they may be jealous. Be happy anyway. Do good today. People will often forget it tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have. It may never be enough. Give the world the best you have anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it was between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. It's between you and God. And some of the very difficult experiences that we have in the marriage and at the work and in the church remind us that it's all about Jesus. And he is the one who will never disappoint. His mercies are new every morning. And so don't let the hard experience allow your heart to become hard towards him, because he is the one whose love will never, ever fail. This is the gospel. Amen? Amen. Let us stand for worship. So Jesus, we come to you. We come knowing that when you were crucified, you said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We thank you for the Holy Spirit that is our resource to live the supernatural life that you've called us to. And the church said together, amen.
Thanks for listening. Here at First Alliance Church, we love God, love others, and live fully engaged in Christ's Great Commission, starting in Lexington, Kentucky. To learn more about our church or to hear other sermons like this one, visit us at faclex.com.